Davar halamid misoifai, something that's learned out from the conclusion of a parasha. So the Avodram gives an example to this as well. This Rashi in the Teres Kayinim also gives this example. First one only the Avodram said, but this example the Avodram and Rashi both bring from a pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois. What does that mean? The pasuk says that a person is not allowed to marry a relative. It says ish ish el kol she'er b'saroi loisik revu legal lois erva. The pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois. The last one. No, I'm still in your base, but in your base has two parts. Davar alami min yinoi. Now we're doing davar alami misayfai, something that's learned from the end of the parasha. In Parshas Achrei Mois, it says that a person can't marry a relative, and the pasuk is mashma any relative. Ish ish al kol she'er b'saroi. You can't marry any relative. So if you would take that pasuk and look at it on its own without looking at the context of the whole parasha, so we would say, you're not allowed to marry any relative. However, if you look at the end of the parasha, misoifai, the end of the parasha enumerates certain arayas that you're not allowed to marry. You're not allowed to marry a sister. You're not allowed to marry a sister. You're not allowed to marry a daughter. You're not allowed to marry a mother. Certain examples, other examples as well, that a person is not allowed to marry his close relative. But there are certain relatives that are not mentioned. L'mashal, a niece. A person is related to his niece, but he's allowed to marry his niece. So even though the beginning of the parasha states, ish ish al kol she'er b'saroi lo sikravu, you're not allowed to marry any close relative, but it's davar halamid misayfai, we learned from the end of the parasha that it's only the specific relatives that were mentioned. However, a niece, for example, or other relatives that are not mentioned, those are mutter for a person to marry. So this is all under one rule, davar halamid mi'in yonoi, for davar halamid misayfai. The truth is, one can wonder, why is this called one midah? It's really two separate things, right? L'chaira, it's something that you shouldn't take the pasuk on its own. You should learn it me'in yonoi from its context, or misayfai from the end of the parasha. It would seem, though, that this is really one yisayf, it's really one rule. The rule is that you have to look at the entire picture. You can't just look at the words of the pasuk and close your eyes to the rest of the inyan. You have to judge, you have to look at the whole picture. If the Torah says, min ha-mikdash lo yetzei, you can't start saying yipshatim. You look at the whole context. From the context, it's mavur that it's talking about hilchus tumah, that he's not allowed to become tamei meis. We're not talking about never leaving the Beis HaMikdash. Hu adin davar alami misayfai. The word is you have to look at the entire picture. Don't just say, oh, kol she'er b'saroi, everybody's awesome. No, look at the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha enumerates certain arayos. So that's why this is considered one rule. It's the 12th rule. It's two parts, davar alami minyonoi, the davar alami misayfai. It's very interesting that the Avodram over here brings a machlokes rishayim. He says that Rashi goes with the count, the way we said it, that this is number 12. However, he brings that the Rav Sadia Gaon, Avodram brings that Rav Sadia Gaon counts this as two separate midas. Davar alami min yonoi is one, and davar alami misoifai is really a separate one because of what we said. It's two separate points, learning from the context and learning from the end of the parasha. Says the Avodram, so how does Rav Sadia Gaon have 13 rules? Right? Yud gimel midas shatayr nejoshes ben. He just made number 12 into 12a and 12b. He just made it into two separate rules. So how does that work? So he says, if you look in Rav Sadia Gaon, the way he counts it, rule number 4 and 5, klal uprat uklal, Rav Sadia Gaon counts that as one rule. We counted it as two things, klal uprat, and then prat uklal. Rav Sadia Gaon says that that's one rule, that you always go with the second clause, with the second phrase in the Torah. Klal uprat, whether it's a prat limiting a klal, or whether it's a klal broadening a prat, that's all the same rule, that you go but to the last one. The last one is the ikr. And therefore, Rav Sadia Gaon also has 13 midas shatayr nejoshes ben. He just has a different count of the 13. But the way we have it enumerated in our Siddur is based on Rashi. The Avodram himself sides with Rashi. He brings that the Rosh held like Rashi. So most we show him the Rosh and the Avodram and Rashi learn the Yud Gimel midas the way we have it listed in most Siddur. But Rav Sadia Gaon has that sheet, Al Kapanim, the 12th one, according to the way we have it, is two parts, Davar Halamin Min Yanoi, for Davar Halamin Mi Soifa. Now comes the final one, V'chein Shnei Ksuvim, HaMachishim Ze Es Ze, Ad She'yavoy HaKasuv HaShalishi V'yachriya Beinehem. What does that mean? Shnei Ksuvim means two psukim. HaMachishim Ze Es Ze. You know what Machishim means? Exactly. Machishim Ze Es Ze means that these psukim seemingly contradict each other. So what are you supposed to do? The rule is that you're supposed to look at a third pasuk that discusses the same topic. Ad She'yavoy HaKasuv HaShalishi V'yachriya Beinehem. So the third pasuk comes to reconcile them, to reconcile the stira. And the Avodram and Rashi bring that the example to this final 13th rule is right in the beginning of the Torah. What is the first pasuk in the Torah? Bereshis bara elokim, eis ha-shamayim ve-eis ha-aretz. What would you say after learning one pasuk in Chumash? What did Hashem create first? Did He create the heaven before the earth, or the earth before the heaven? would say heaven before the earth, Eisa Shemayim, Eisa Aretz. However, if you look a little further in Parshas Bereishis, in the second parak, Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk says, B'yoyim asois Hashem Elikim, Eretz v'shamayim. The day that Hashem made Eretz v'shamayim, it says the earth before the heaven. So in the first Pasuk in the Torah, it's Mashma Hashem created heaven before earth, Eisa Shemayim, Eisa Aretz. In the later Pasuk, it says, Hashem made Eretz v'shamayim, earth and heaven. It's Mashma Hashem created earth before heaven. So this is Shnei Chesuvim, right at the beginning of the Torah, HaMachishim Zezeh, that seem to contradict each other. So the Rishonim say that the way we are machriya this with the Kos of Ashlishi is a pasuk that's not even in the Torah. It's a pasuk that's much later in the Nevi'im, in Yeshaya. Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem Ches, says, discusses the creation of earth and heaven. And it says there, a pasuk in Yeshaya Mem Ches, pasuk Yud Gimel, Af Yodi Yosta Eretz, Vimini Tepecha Shemayim. That Hashem says, my hand created the earth, and my right hand the Shemayim. Which means that Hashem says that I made the earth with my left hand and the heaven with my right hand. And Rashi in the Tirus Kainim explains, so what does that mean? That it means that the Pasuk there is trying to show us that Hashem created the earth and the heaven, ke'uman, like a craftsman, sha'oisek b'shtei yadav, a very talented craftsman. He's working with two hands. Fa'oisek b'hen shtei umni'ois b'bas achas. Hashem was such a talented craftsman that he was able to make a Shemayim and earth simultaneously. His Shemayim with the right hand, the Eretz with the left hand. But Akoponim, this Pasuk shows us that it was created together. So in the Pasuk, there are two Pesukim that discuss it. The Torah can't say it with Bas Achas. So the Torah in one place says Eretz for Shemayim, the other place says the Shemayim versus Eretz, to be Meramis to us, that these are really together. But the third Pasuk, the Kos of Ashlishi, is what brings it out to Farish. It tells you, don't think that there's a contradiction, which one was created first. No, it was made with two hands, like a craftsman doing two things at the same time, and that's the Kos of Hashlishi, V'yachriya b'neihem, that Kos of Hashlishi reconciles the theorem. Yes. It says in V'mini tipcha shamayim, the right hand did the heaven, and the left hand did the earth. Now Agav, in the last one, the Mefarshim have a problem, it says V'chein shnei ksuvim. Interesting lashon. It says, enumerates 13 rules, and here it says V'chein, and also. Why would it say by the last one an added word v'chein? Why doesn't it say kav v'chaymer v'chein v'der shava v'chein binyanav? Why at the very end does the haktama to the teres kainim, the brayse of Rabbi Shmuel, say the word v'chein? Hakadekach that I saw brought down from some mafarshim that some agayrus here v'chan means v'chan over here, say a whole new pshat, a very mechudish tikka pshat, that since this is the introduction to the teres kainim, which is on vayikra, it means v'chan over here because there's an example of shnei ksuvim. HaMachishim Zeh Zeh, right in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. The example we brought was in the beginning of Bereishis, but there's another example in the beginning of Vayikra. So V'chan Shnei Ksuvim, and over here, Shnei Ksuvim Habam Ke'echot. Pshat is a little bit wild, it's not the simple Pshat, surely not with our Girsa of V'chein. According to our Girsa V'chein, I would suggest that the reason why we say V'chein by the last one, Pashat Balabatish, is as if to say, sometimes when you enumerate 13 things, so you say this one, this one, this one, and finally, the last one is it's as if to say this is kavu chaymer zera shava v'chein shnei ksuvim, and finally shnei ksuvim is just the poetic way to say. But myself, if this does not satisfy you, there is another pshat that I saw in the Oitzer Atfilah Siddur brought down from the Gra. The Gra says that the word v'chein over here means similarly, because rule number 12 and rule number 13 really have something in common. They're really similar. Rule number 12 is davar alamid me inyanay v'davar alamid me saifay. That you can't understand the pasuk just from reading the pasuk itself. You have to look a little broader. You have to look at the context. You have to look at the end of the parasha. V'chein, and similarly, sometimes you have two contradictory psukim. You have to look even broader. You have to look in Sefer Yeshaya. You have to look in a different parasha b'chlal to reconcile the stira. So that's what it would mean according to the Gra, this pshat b'shem the Gra, that v'chein shnei ksuvim, not only do you learn from the context and from the end of the parasha, but v'chein also sometimes you learn out from a kos of ashlishi, from a third pasuk, which is brought down from a different place in order to answer this deal. Okay, so that's the end of the Brisa of the Rabbi Shmuel. At the end of the Brisa, the Minig Yisrael is to say the following tefillah, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha. Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha. It should be the will in front of you, Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, she'yibaneh Beis HaMikdash b'meheira v'yameinu. The Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt b'meheira v'yameinu, speedily in our days. V'sein chalkeinu b'seir esecha. You should give us our share, our portion in your Torah. V'sham, over there in the Beis HaMikdash, na'avodcha b'yira, we will serve you with fear. Kimei olam, like the days of old. Uchshanim kadmayni yais, and in, like in earlier years. So this is a tefillah we're asking Hashem to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The makor of this tefillah, believe it or not, is a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, at the end of the fifth Perek, Mishnah Chaf, in most texts of Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei, Mishnah Chaf, the Tana is in the middle of talking there, just like in Pirkei Avos, there's a lot of Yisaidis, and then the Tana interrupts after saying a certain Yisaid, he says a tefillah. The Tana says, Yehi ratzon lefanecha, Hashem elokeinu v'elokei aviseinu, sheyibaneh Beis HaMikdash v'meirah v'yameinu, v'sein chalkeinu b'sayir asecha. That's the end of the Mishnah. The last part is not part of the Mishnah. But this first chalik, until v'sein chalkeinu b'sayir asecha, is actually part of a Mishnah. Why do we say this tefillah over here? Not just I'm saying over Mishnayis now, Pirkei Avos. Why do we say this tefillah over here? The pshat seems to be because we just finished going through the whole Seder HaKarbonos. We read the parshias of certain Karbonos, of the Karbon Tamid. Then we've learned together the Mishnayis, Ezu Makayman, or the Dinim of Karbonos. We even learned together the introduction to the Torah's Kayanim, Rabbi Shmuel, Aimei, Vishleisha, Semidois. This is the introduction to the Torah's Kayanim, which is the key to dashening most of the Dinim of the Karbonos. So now we say a tefillah at the end, that when we davened all these things and we learned all these halachas, it's considered as if, ke'ilu, we brought a carbon. As we mentioned in our introduction to Karbonos, from the Gemara in Tainus and the Gemara in Megillah, that Hashem said, Bizman shekoyrim lafanai, when they read in front of me the parasha of the Karbonos, mal ani aleim ke'ilu hikrivim lafanai. When you read the parasha of Karbonos, when you learn the inyanim of Karbonos, it's as if you actually brought the carbon. So now we just spent a lot of minutes doing as if. We read this parasha, we read these mishnayos, we learned this brisa, as if we brought the carbon. We end off by saying, Yehi ratzon lefanecha, it should be the will of Hashem that the real Beis HaMikdash should be built. The Beis HaMikdash should be built in our days. Sham navodcha b'yira, there will do real avodah. Kishonim chamini, it's just like the way it used to be. Not just the ke'ilu, that we're saying all these things, and it's as if we brought the carbon. We ask Hashem that He should bring back the Beis HaMikdash, there should be real karbonos on the real Mizbeach, in the third Beis HaMikdash that Hashem should rebuild in our days. There is just one diktuk over here, in this tefillah, davening for the Beis HaMikdash, we throw in, v'sein chalkeinu v'sayir asecha, seemingly unrelated bakasha. We ask Hashem to build the Beis HaMikdash, and He should give us our portion in Torah. B'doichik, you could say, it's two unrelated bakashas. First, Hashem should build the Beis HaMikdash, and then He should give us our chelek in Torah. But it's a big doichik, because right after we say v'sein chalkeinu b'sayir asecha, we go back again to the Beis HaMikdash. V'sham navodcha b'yira, over there in the Beis HaMikdash, we should serve Hashem. So what does that mean? That we start with the Beis HaMikdash, we end talking about the Beis HaMikdash, and in the middle we throw in v'sein chalkeinu b'sayir asecha. It would be mashah from this tefillah that v'sein chalkeinu b'sayir asecha taka has a shaychus to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Oitzar HaTefillah Siddur, the Pirush Eitz Yosef, brings from the Vilna Gaon, that the Gaon said a pshat over here, why v'sein chalkeinu b'sayir asecha has a connection to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And the Gaon explains a very important yisoid, that without the Beis HaMikdash, we are very limited in our understanding of Torah. He brings, there's a pasuk in Megillas Eicha, Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, in Megillas Eicha, Perek Beis, pasuk 10, Malka v'sareha b'agoyim, ein Torah. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, at the time of Galus, at the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, ein Torah. There is no Torah, which means that we can't understand the concepts of Torah. And we can't understand the depth of Torah to the fullest extent without the Beis HaMikdash. Once there's Galus, Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, ein Torah. We don't understand the full extent, the amkus of the Torah. However, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt amid Hashem, so the Navi Yeshaya teaches us, and Yeshaya Yud Aleph, the pasuk says that what's going to happen when there's a Beis HaMikdash, ki mala'a ha'aretz deya es Hashem. The land will be filled with deya, with knowledge. That means that we'll have a greater understanding in Torah. That's what's going to happen when the Beis HaMikdash comes. Without the Beis HaMikdash, ein Torah, and with the Beis HaMikdash, mala ha'aretz deyas Hashem, the land will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem. We're going to have a much deeper, much more profound understanding of the Torah. Says the Vilna Gaon, that is the Kesha. We're davening here after we talked about the Karbonos, that Hashem should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and allow us to bring real Karbonos. But within that tefillah, where we daven that she'ibana Beis HaMikdash b'meirah v'yameinu v'sein chalkeinu b'sayir asecha. Because with the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, then we will receive our true portion in Torah. Then we'll be able to understand the Chochmas HaTorah to the fullest extent. If that's the case, a bakasha of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash and a bakasha in giving us our true portion in Torah is really one and the same. And therefore it's not an unrelated bakasha. Adarabba, within inside the tefillah, where we're saying that Hashem should build a Beis HaMikdash and allow us to bring karbanos, we also add in v'sein chalkeinu v'sayra secha. We should be zeicher that this tefillah should finally be answered, that Hashem should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and with this we'll be able to reach the highest madrega in Torah and Avodah, in our understanding of Torah, and in our Avodah and bringing the karbanos. We're approaching now the days of Nisan, where Chazal say, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, b'Nisan nigalu u'v'Nisan asidin ligal. In the days of Nisan, it's mesugel for geula. These are days that are mesugel for geula. A person should try to put a little extra concentration when he says this tefillah, this yiratzen, and in general, all the tefillahs that talk about the geula should have concentration that these are the days of mesugel for geula. We should daven for geula, and Hashem should answer all of these tefillahs b'mheira v'yameinu.